Sing it for you. And the other is Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. Who wrote that? Fanny Crosby. That would have been her second hit. Can you guess the theme? God redeems. It's a good word. We use that word a lot, right? Redeems. How would you define it if someone asked you? Let's say someone's new in the church and they go, how is redeems different from God saves you? Oh, sorry. Oh, can't hear. Okay.
Is that better?
Is that better? Okay. So, how would you define the word redeems? How is it different from God saves us? There's a couple meanings of it, but the one that fits our text is based very simply to buy something back. I have something, I sell it, and I miss it. And I think, I want my wedding ring or something, and I want it back. And so I go buy it back. I redeem it. And the Bible's full of stories how the Lord has redeemed people. They made a mess of their lives through their own actions or circumstances, and the Lord is very good at redeeming. And in fact, redeeming fits our memory verse for today. Not the adults, but the kids. But I challenge you to memorize this one if you haven't already. It's from Philippians 1:6. God began a good work in you, and he will continue until he is finished when Jesus Christ comes. Can you remember that? Okay, I'm just going to put this here. So last week in the Olivet Kids, they heard a story about Jacob. Do you remember him? Sure you did. He was the grandson of Abraham. He's the one who stole his brother's birthright. And then he stole his blessing. Oh. And then he ran away for about 20 years. But God kept his eye on him. God continued to reveal himself to Jacob. And he changed his heart bit by bit. And he redeemed, he repaired the relationship between Jacob and his older brother. And he even gave him a new name. Do you remember what it was? Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons. Yeah, wow. That's a lot of testosterone in that family. Huh? He had 12 sons, and I have none. Now, I want to tell you about one of them. And I think there are some good stories in the Bible where God redeems, and I think one of my top three is the story of Joseph. And at first I thought I was going to do the Thanksgiving message, and I thought, really? But then I heard it was going to be about Joseph, and I was even more excited. I love the story of Joseph. Now, to help me tell the story, some friends are going to read some scriptures, and Johanna's going to help us. There are actually 8 objects on the stage here, and these objects are going to take us through the story of Joseph. Now, when the story begins, Joseph is 17 years old. Now, that's important, so kind of remember that. He's a teenager. He's 17. And another thing, I don't know if I mentioned, he's Jacob's favorite because he was born of his favorite wife, Rachel, and Jacob has a favorite. We see a problem right there. Jacob knew all about that. Do you remember who Jacob's brother Esau, do you remember who his favorites there? Jacob was his mother's favorite, and Esau was his father's favorite, and Jacob made the same mistake. He had a favorite. And there have been times when I've been the favorite, and more times when I haven't been the favorite, and it's not comfortable either way, is it? I don't think we need to confuse. There's nothing wrong with liking someone, but that's inside. But when you start to show people how you smile, how you talk to people, we really have to be careful. So Joseph did not have a good relationship with his brothers. They didn't like him. And I'll tell you for a few reasons, but let's think of three. One of them, he was the favorite. And Jacob gave our first object. Johanna's going to take out an object. And the first object is a special gift that Jacob gave to Joseph to show him how much he loved him. There it is. It was a coat. We always say the coat of many colors. I have no idea what it looked like, and neither do you. It was an ornate coat, my NIV says. But Joseph got it, and the other brothers didn't, and they resented that. Now, then Joseph had some dreams. And when he had these dreams, he would tell his brothers about them. And I'm going to have some helpers come read some scripture verses, and we're going to hear about the first dream. So this is, who's going to come up here and help me? Is it on my right? Okay, it's Tiana's coming. Okay, is there a footstool? Oh, there is. Oh, yeah, there it is. There you go. You're going to be okay. There you go.
Genesis 37, verse 5-8. One time Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Joseph said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were in the field tying bundles of wheat together. My bundles stood up, and your bundles of wheat gathered around mine. Your bundles bowed down to mine." His brothers said, "Do you really think you will be king over us? Do you truly think you will rule over us?" His brothers hated him even more now. They hated him because of his dreams and what he had said.
Thank you, Tiana. Okay, thank you. And if you know, Joseph had another dream. And in this dream, he was a star. Not a superstar, a star. And he dreamt that there were 11 other stars and the sun and the moon, and they all bowed down to him. And it didn't take too much imagination to know what he thought, what people thought that meant. It meant all the brothers and his father and mother bowed down to him. And at this time, even Jacob rebuked him and said, "You shouldn't be telling those stories." Is it Joseph's fault that he dreams these things? Oh, we can't help what we dream. And these were messages from God, but maybe he could have kept these things to himself. There is a time and a place when to say something. So there's two reasons: the dreams, the coat, the favoritism. The third reason is, remember, how old is Joseph? 17. And there's only one younger than him. All the rest are adults. You know, and Joseph has been appointed. Like he's watching over his brothers. Jacob put him in charge. I see a problem right there. I sure wouldn't like that, would you? The teenager is your boss, and he went out to check on his brothers, and I don't know what they were doing. Were they sleeping instead of watching the sheep? I have no idea, but they brought back a bad report to Jacob, and he told on them. And so you can see why Joseph was not popular with his brothers. In fact, as Tiana read, they hated him. And they even planned to kill him. It was serious. Now, the oldest brother, Reuben, he didn't like Joseph either, but he didn't want to kill him. He knew, "That's my brother. We really shouldn't do that." So he begged them, "Please don't kill him." So the next time they saw him coming, they grabbed him, they took off his beautiful coat, and they tore it in half. There we go. Did you hear that? That was great, huh? And they tied him up and they threw him into a cistern. Not a sister, a cistern, which is like a well for water. Luckily, there was no water in it. So here's Joseph in the well. And what did they do then? Well, Janet's going to get our next object to see what the brothers did. Give a little shake. What is that? What is that? That's coins. To tell you, it's 20 shekels of silver. Jane counted it out, and it was 20 shekels of silver. See, here's what happened. Imagine this. Joseph is in the well, and the brothers decide, "Let's have some lunch." I can't imagine enjoying my lunch while someone says, "Help me, help me. Come on." Can you imagine that? How cold-hearted. And they see someone coming down the road. Do you remember? They see some camels. And on the camels are these traders, these merchants, these fellows. It's their business. They buy things, they sell things, and they were headed for Egypt to do some business. And another brother, Judah, he had an idea and he said, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny to sell Joseph as a slave to Egypt?" And he said, "That way we wouldn't feel guilty by killing him, and we'll get some money out of the deal and be rid of him." That's a horrible idea, but the brothers thought that was a good idea. So now you see Joseph, he's tied up on a camel. I can imagine what he's saying to his brothers as they turn their backs on him, and he's walking away, riding away. And even though the brothers had abandoned him, God never did. See, God had a plan. Now here's where our theme comes in, to redeem Joseph's life, to redeem this mess. So I'm going to have another friend come for another scripture verse, and we're going to hear what happened next. Oh, you don't need one. Okay. Okay, good.
Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He lived in the house of his master Potiphar the Egyptian. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He saw that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did. So Potiphar was very happy with Joseph. He allowed Joseph to be his personal servant. He put Joseph in charge of the house. Joseph was trusted with everything Potiphar owned.
Thank you. Are you Linnea? Okay. Jane emailed Linnea. Now I know who you are. And she's a fantastic reader. I see two lessons from this. Remember, the topic's redemption, right? First of all, I looked at Joseph. And it would have been so easy for him to say, "Look, God let this happen to me. Where's God? Nobody's minding the store." If you hear the cliche, but I can do what I want. I've had enough, and I give up. You know, when I've been mistreated at work, when I felt someone was not taking advantage of me, especially if it's the boss, I think, why am I doing all this paperwork? I'm going home early. I haven't done it. I've been tempted to do it. I remember when I was a painter, when I was like 19, and when the boss wasn't listening, there was an expression we painters had, and if there was a mistake, we'd always go, "Oh, it's not my house." But but Joseph doesn't do that. You know, it's one thing to do your job when people are watching you, but he does his job all the time. He doesn't understand why this is happening to him, but he still does his job and he gets noticed. And not only does he get noticed, he gets made the manager. Next time you feel mistreated, think of Joseph. I don't know all your stories, but whenever I felt I've been mistreated, nothing compares to what Joseph went through. And the other thing I learned is, where's God? I mean, he's the God of justice. Where is he? A kid just got sold by his own family into slavery. Now, I know bad things happen when you listen to the news, but it doesn't get much worse than that. And where is God at this moment? And I don't see him. But you have to open your eyes a little more. He's there. Did you catch it? Because I've heard this story 100 times, just like you. But you have to read it carefully. You see God there. Joseph's not a slave in the field, eating bad food and being mistreated by the overseer. He's in the house with Potiphar and his wife. He's eating good food. He's been promoted to manager. God's with him. And not only manager, he's so good that Potiphar prospers. So God's taking care of Joseph. It's maybe not what Joseph would much prefer to go home, but it's not the way he'd like it, but at least God's taking care of him. He's got his eye on him. And Joseph, he notices this. He notices this as well. And then something happened that changed his life again. This is object number 3. Johanna, what did you find? Whoa. Give that a shake. What is that? Now, if that's a symbol, when is chains ever a good symbol? Unless it's a bicycle chain, that's bad, and it is bad. Yes. So, here's what happened. I told you, Potiphar noticed Joseph. Well, someone else noticed him. Mrs. Potiphar noticed that Joseph was a very handsome boy. And she liked him a little too much. And when she approached Joseph, he said no. Well, that made her mad. And she was so mad that when her husband, Potiphar, came home, she told a nasty lie about him. And Potiphar believed her, and he got mad, and he threw Joseph in prison. We're on part two. Okay. And I ask again, where's God? I thought I got this. He's been sold into slavery. God's redeeming him in Potiphar's house. He's acting. But now he's in prison. Where's God? Okay, well, you have to look for him. And again, you have to open your eyes and see him. So let's get another verse, a third verse. And I'll let you decide if you need the stool. And let's see if you can hear God in these passages. This would be Genesis 39, 21 and 22. Cousin read for you then?
Want me to read it? All right.
Okay.
Okay. You want to stand here? Stand.
Lene is going to help her cousin.
You can stand up here. No, you don't want to stand? Okay.
Okay. Genesis 39, verses 21 and 22. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness. The Lord caused the prison warden to like Joseph. The prison warden chose Joseph to take care of all the prisoners. He was responsible for whatever was done in the prison.
Thank you. Thank you both. Put that down there. Did you see God in the passage? Well, maybe I had to listen a couple times, but I saw him. I saw, again, two things. Well, how did the warden feel about Joseph? He liked him. Well, that's good. And again, he puts him in charge of the whole prison. Now, if you're counting, did you notice this is the third time Joseph shows leadership ability? Do you see God in that? First, his father put him in charge of his brothers, and then Potiphar put him in charge of all the servants in the household, and now the warden even puts him in charge of the prison. And God's redeeming him in another way. While he's in prison, God gives Joseph a special ability, a special gift. Do you remember what it is? Yeah, he can hear people's dreams, understand them, and explain them. So now the dreamer can explain people's dreams. But please remember, now we're skipping a bit here, but Joseph had to wait in prison for over 2 years before the next thing happened. God doesn't always reveal to you what he's doing. You just have to see what he shows you. But he continues to be faithful, diligent, trusting God. Well, the next object changed his life forever again. It sounds like a cliffhanger for a series, you know? What did she find? A crown. Oh, that's pretty cool. Somebody else had a dream. Do you remember who had a dream? The king of Egypt. We call him the Pharaoh. He had a dream. And now, when I have dreams, we usually forget them by the time we get up, right? And once in a while, the dream stays with you, and you think, what was that? And it's hard to remember what's reality and what's not the dream. But this dream stayed with Pharaoh, and it bothered him all morning. And he was talking about it to people. And finally, one of the servants in his home said, in the palace said, I just remembered. Thanks a lot. He had been in prison with Joseph 2 years ago and remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. I always wonder when Joseph came out what happened to that fellow, but it's not in the Bible. For 2 years, Joseph had to stay there. So anyway, Joseph is brought before the Pharaoh. Now, if you've never heard this before, I envy you. What do you think Pharaoh dreamt? Jana's going to take an object out of the basket. What is it? It's a cow. Does it come back now? He actually dreamed that there were seven fat, healthy cows eating grass by the Nile River. And out of the river come seven skinny, scrawny, unhealthy cows, sickly-looking cows. And they walked up to the fat cows, they opened their mouths big, and they swallowed them whole. That's weird. I've had weird dreams, but that would scare me. And it didn't end there. You know what the weirdest thing? After they ate the cows, they still didn't get any fatter. They were still really thin. And Pharaoh woke up and said, "What was that?" I guess that would disturb me. I would ask people what that meant. So Pharaoh tells Joseph about his dream. And we're gonna have another scripture passage to see what Pharaoh said to Joseph. Okay, this will be chapter 41, 15 and 16. Is it Katie?
Okay. Genesis 41, 15 to 16 says, "The king said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, but no one can explain its meaning to me. I have heard that you can explain a dream when someone tells it to you.' Joseph answered the king, 'I am not able to explain the meaning of dreams. God will do this for the king.'"
Thank you very much. Did you notice what Joseph said again? I would have been tempted, I don't know if I'd have done it, but I would have been tempted to say, "Oh yes, tell me your dream. Here's my chance. You know, I have a good track record. I interpreted the cupbearer's dream and the chief baker's dream." But what did Joseph do? He gives glory to God. He says honestly, "No, I can't do it. God can do it. Tell me your dream." So do you have any idea what that strange dream meant about the seven cows? Our next object out of the basket is going to give you a hint what it's about. Oh, can you hold it up high? It's the number seven. So you see, Joseph told Pharaoh, the seven healthy cows represent 7 years. 7 years of plenty, where the farmers are going to grow lots of grain. And then the seven skinny cows represent 7 years of famine. Now, we know what that means, right? That's a time when no food grows. And he said, and the reason that the skinny cows didn't look any fatter after they ate the cows is because the famine's going to be so bad, we're not even going to remember those 7 good years. Now, that happens at the best of times. I don't remember much out of 2005, except that I got married that year. But that was 14 years ago. Okay. Now, Pharaoh was really impressed with Joseph. Okay. Let's hear another verse. This is 41, 39 and 40. Let's hear what Pharaoh said to Joseph.
Genesis 41, 39 to 40 says, "So the king said to Joseph, 'God has shown you all this. There is no one as wise and understanding as you are. I will put you in charge of my palace, and all the people will obey your orders. Only I will be greater than you.'"
Thank you, Emily. I'm so glad when I saw Emily and Katie, because Emily always reads for me. So just like Potiphar at the beginning and the jailer, Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph. What did he do? Well, first of all, he obviously released him from prison. And then he gave him some new, nice new linen clothes. He put a gold chain around his neck. And he gave him a signet ring. And the ring wasn't like a magic ring. It just meant that he had the authority of the Pharaoh. And he even gave him a special woman to be his wife. And he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Joseph would ride around in a chariot. And there's even a servant on the chariot who would say, "Make way for Joseph, get out of the way." Boy, I could use one of those on the sky train where people don't move. That would be... you think... And I love that part of the story. We all want to get there because you think, finally, something's happening. Right? Finally, God's acting and redeeming Joseph's life. This is what we're waiting for. But notice, the Bible said Joseph was 30 years old when he entered Pharaoh's service. Now, do you remember at the beginning, how old was he when he was sold by his brothers? Now, without a pencil, how many years did it take? Oh, you're good. 13 years? And some of those in prison? Okay. God doesn't always tell you how long it's going to take. He didn't tell Moses he'd be 80 years old before he led the people out of Israel. He didn't tell the people it's going to be 40 years before you enter the promised land. Sometimes he acts quickly. And when he acts, it's very fast. Joseph went from a prisoner to second in command in, what, half a day? All these things happen. But it takes time. And if you think that you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for God to act, you're going to be disappointed. You kind of, that's part of it, but you miss the point. You have to look at God acting in the waiting. And that's why we look at, otherwise you can get very depressed. Tests are hard enough as it is. So look for God in the test, not just when you get there. So what did Joseph do? What does he actually do in his new job? I've had people ask that in the office. Right? What does this guy actually do? I see him walking around with his coffee cup and it's empty. Once I thought, what's his job exactly? So our next object's going to give us a hint as to what Joseph actually did. Oh. It's grain. Joseph collected grain. For 7 years, he rode his chariot throughout Egypt, collected grain. They built new storehouses, put them in the cities for later. He collected so much grain, they stopped counting. He said it was like when you go to the beach, it's like trying to count the sand on the beach. They stopped counting. Now, you're going to have to, I might not even come next week. I'm so curious about part two when he meets his brothers, you know. I might just sneak out of the service because that's going to be downstairs. But let's reflect. God knew and had a plan all along to redeem the life of Joseph, to clean up this mess that had been done for him. And Joseph knew God, and he chose to trust him even during all his problems. And God was faithful, and he redeemed his life. Oh, not just once, as you heard, over and over again. He could trust him, he could trust him, he could trust him. And he turned Joseph's messy life that started kind of, I don't want to read into the text, but it seemed kind of proud and boastful, into something beautiful, something that gave glory to God. And Joseph's life is kind of like when I was taking English at Trinity Western, half the English department's here, they'd call it foreshadowing. Something's coming, and our last object is too big for the basket. Johanna's going to show what it's pointing to. Ah, did you know that was coming? Yes. Jesus, the ultimate redeemer. You know, Jesus came from this messy family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Not Joseph, Judah was the next one, but he came from this family, He took care of the family because he knew he'd have to come from that family. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he cancels our debt. He frees us from our sin. He redeems us. He takes the mess we make of our lives, that I make, that you make, and then the messes that other people make in our lives that seem so unfair, and he cleans them up. It said at the end, I should think of a time God has redeemed me, and I had to think a little bit. And I actually thought of quite a few times I've seen it or in my family. Problem is, like your stories, unless you know my story, all the details, you don't really get it. So I'd have to either tell you lots of background or just choose a simple story. And I'm sure you're thankful I chose a simple story. A number of years ago, I was working at a school, and I was walking down the hallway with a bunch of books, and there was a teacher there whom I didn't really like. We had very different personalities. And I came to a corner, it was a bit of a dark hallway, and she came around one end, I came one end, we bumped into each other, I dropped all my books on the floor. And she said, why don't you be more careful? Okay, we say stuff like that, I've said stuff like that. But it bugged me. So I followed her into the office and I said, you know I don't see, why would you say that to me? Now most people would apologize or just shrug. She pointed her finger at me and said, oh, so we all have to be careful just because of you? I don't like to say this, but I hated that woman. I didn't say it. I just ignored her after that, but I hated her. And I also knew God didn't like that hatred in my heart. He wanted to redeem her. She obviously didn't know him, and he wanted to redeem me. So I did, now I've not done things right, but this time I did. I prayed for her. Whenever I was angry, I would pray for her. Do you know that woman became a Christian? And the last time I met her was at a friend's wedding. She was still different. We're not the same. We never became good friends, but she was quite different in her heart. We had a nice long talk, and she lived in New West, and so she gave me a ride home. We had another long talk, and I actually gave her a hug, and I said, I'm so glad I met you. I'm so glad we met again under nicer circumstances. She didn't remember saying that to me, but we knew we didn't have a good relationship there. And it was God redeemed that relationship. And if it's a simple thing, but God can redeem anything, but you have to let him and let him take his time. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you to my helpers and Johanna and the girls.